This episode is made possible by Awin. Two-thirds of digital ad spend currently flows to the three big tech platforms, Google, Meta, and Amazon. But their auction-based ad models favor their own bottom line and inflate costs at a time when every single marketing dollar counts. Awin's affiliate partnerships platform offers a real alternative to big tech and puts you back in control of your ad spend. Want to find out how? Visit awin.com/emarketer to learn more.
I am not counting Snap out yet. It's clearly still struggling, but it has the potential to defy the odds and turn itself around. There is no lack of innovation at the company. It just needs to figure out a way to turn that innovation and turn its high engagement into revenue.
Hey gang, it's Tuesday, August 8th. Jasmine and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by Awin. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by one of our principal analysts who covers everything social media, typically based on the left coast of America, but somewhere else today is Jasmine Ember.
Hey Marcus. Hey everyone.
Did I make that up? You did say you're hours in the future of me and I'm in England, so you have to be, can't be less.
I am 2 hours in the future of you. I am in Finland right now.
Hello. Very nice. Which is, well, typically,
I'm hoping for a Finland fact because I am in Finland.
No, I don't have one.
That is so disappointing.
But I do have a California one. So apparently okay. I only give you the fact the place that you're going to be at some point in the future. But yeah, so you swapped roles. You've gone from California to Finland and the fact has also swapped as a result.
Okay, I like it.
The fact of the day, California themed. California is the birthplace of the internet. On October 29th, 1969, at some point past 10 p.m., the first connection was made over the ARPANET between UCLA and the Stanford Research Institute in room 3420 in Boulter Hall. A UCLA graduate student called Charles Klein, under the supervision of engineering professor Leonard Kleinrock, typed out the first message. Klein, however, was only able to send the letters L and O, trying to spell out login, before the system software crashed. But that was the very beginnings of the internet. You might be thinking, what about Tim Berners-Lee? That was the World Wide Web. So the World Wide Web built on top of the internet was, of course, invented 20 years later by British computer scientist Tim Berners-Lee in 1989 while working at CERN, the Center of Scientific Research that straddles the French-Swiss border.
That is fascinating, Marcus. I did not know that story.
Thank you to them. They did it mainly so this podcast could exist. So thanks. Thanks, gang. And some other things. Today's real topic, Snapchat's growth continues to stall. Why? In today's episode, first in the lead, we'll cover Snapchat. Then for another news, we'll discuss Pinterest's recent performance and how social network usage looks by generation. Jasmine, we start with the lead. We're talking about Snapchat. How have they been doing of late? Let's look at how many new users they've added. Well, they've added 14 million new daily active users in April, May, and June, also known as Q2, to reach 397 million worldwide. So they're close to 400. Jasmine, how significant is this 400 million user milestone the company is approaching, will likely cross next quarter?
It's significant. I mean, the pop in daily active users, including in Snap's largest market, North America, was definitely a bright spot in the company's Q2 earnings. But there was actually another usage growth trend that really stood out to me from their earnings report, which was the pretty phenomenal growth in time spent on Spotlight, its TikTok-like feed. I mean, we spend so much time talking about how Snapchat is primarily a messaging app, which is true. And it's been trying to move more into the public facing content and rolling out more surfaces and ways for people to create more public content. And it seems that that is resonating. And Snap, of course, has also recently rolled out ads in Spotlight. So there's, you know, potential for growth in those areas when it comes to both usage and advertising.
Yeah, the Spotlight story is interesting, saying, as you noted, time spent watching Spotlight, which is its TikTok-esque short form video feed, has more than tripled year on year. Snap says Spotlight now reaches over 400 million users each month. So the 397 I mentioned are daily active users, but they say Spotlight now reaches over 400 million users each month. We were talking before we hit record on this episode, just about how kind of predictable their user growth's been, right? I mean, I was going back over some of their numbers. They've added about 13 million, give or take, up or down a million or two since the pandemic, every quarter, just so consistently. So it's not the most remarkable story, but it's one of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, the main reason there, Jasmine, is because of rest of world. Carrying user growth at this point, half of Snapchat's users come from rest of world. Now, at the end of 2020, a third did.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of world is really the main kind of engine behind that user growth. And they have close to double the number of rest of world users, the total number of rest of world users, as they did 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely part of that story.
Absolutely. It's a huge part of the story. And I'm glad you pointed that out too, because where those users come from also affects Snapchat's ability to monetize, which I am sure we'll be talking about in just a little bit.
Yes, right now. Let's talk about their dollars. Snap made close to $1.1 billion in ad revenues in Q2, but that was down 4%. So Jasmine, the story, as you well know, of Snapchat's ad revenue growth over the last year, so the last year and a half, has been Q1 2022. They were up nearly 40% in revenue growth year on year. The quarter after, growth dropped sharply to 13, from 40 to 13, was cut in half. The following quarter to 6, so 40, 13, 6, and then hit 0 at the end of last year, Q4. Q1 of this year, it continued to fall, falling from 0 to negative 7. And now we're at negative 4, which is a little bit up from negative 7, but it is its second straight quarterly decline in ad revenue. Jasmine, Google's Q2 ad revenue was up 3. For context, Meta's was up 11. What should we make of this negative 4% Q2 ad revenue growth number from Snap?
Well, Snap is clearly not out of its revenue slump yet. And at the same time, it's, you know, we're seeing signs that the digital advertising rebound has started, but it clearly hasn't been an even rebound. And I think what's happening is that advertisers are funneling more money into larger platforms, the Googles and the Metas of the world. And Snap, of course, is still a much smaller player and it has struggled quite a lot recently. But that said, again, you know, I think there were some positive signs coming out of its Q2 earnings in terms of its ad business too. They reported an increase in the number of active advertisers, as well as advertiser retention. They also reported some improvements for e-commerce advertisers based on some of the technological changes that they made to their ad platform. So I'd say that Snap is clearly not out of the woods yet when it comes to its revenue generating problems, but there are some signs of hope for the future.
Mm-hmm. So a few things for me. One, this is definitely new territory for Snapchat. That negative 7% year-on-year growth in Q1 was the company's first quarterly decline in sales since they went public in 2017. So this negative 4 is not a place that they are used to hanging out. Second thing, as a tale of regional differences, North America is what dragged it into the red. That was down 13% as a region. Europe was plus 7. Rest of world continued its strong double-digit growth at close to 30. And then, you know, I mentioned rest of world and you were saying that's significant in part because you make less money outside of the US as a social media platform. Typically, average revenue per user is typically driven by North American users, much more money being made per user in North America than the rest of world. But with Snap, it was down across the board. Every region saw average revenue per user down. It was worst in the all-important North American region, down 14% in Q2 year on year. It was down 18% last quarter, Q1. Tiny bright spot, net income slightly improved from last Q2, but slightly improved means that it was still down nearly $400 million in the red. It's not ideal. Jasmine, we've talked users, we've talked dollars. What other part of Snap's business are you paying closest attention to at the moment and why?
I've got two areas of the business that I'm really focused on right now. One is creators. Snap made a huge push for creators in Q2. We talked a little bit about how they're working on improving that public-facing content. And part of that has to do with opening up public stories to more users, as well as a creator ad revenue sharing program that has really given Snapchat a ton of positive press recently, with a lot of creators reporting that they're making a ton of money off of it. And I think that that could actually have long-term benefits for its business too. Creators bring in audiences and audiences bring in ad dollars. I think really to supercharge Snap's creator push, it needs to bring in stronger influencer marketing tools, because I think that would help get more brands on board with Snapchat as a creator platform as well. And the second part that I'm really focused on is My AI. There's a lot of potential there for My AI to provide Snap with first-party data that could potentially, you know, make up for some of those lost signals from Apple's privacy changes that, of course, have been really damaging to its business. It could also potentially provide another revenue stream. They've started testing sponsored links in My AI, which, you know, would aid it on its quest to diversify its income, which I think is really critical, especially as its ad business continues to struggle.
The My AI part, though, I noted that as well. So they said since launching My AI, which is this AI-powered chatbot, over 150 million people have sent over 10 billion messages, which they believe makes My AI among the largest consumer chatbots available today. Another part of their business, which we've talked about in the past, and you've been keeping a very close eye on, is Snapchat Plus, continuing to see strong uptake there, recently reaching the 4 million paying subscribers mark. Twitter Blue, Twitter's equivalent, has closer to 700,000, or six times fewer. Jasmine, let's finish the lead up by talking about the mini future, also known as the second half of 2023. Snapchat says they expect to cross the 400 million worldwide daily active users mark in Q3. I think they said about 405, 406 is what they're expecting. However, they expect revenue to continue to struggle, giving guidance of negative 5% for the upcoming quarter, Q3. What do you expect to see from Snap in the second half of this year?
Well, before earnings came out, I had said that Snap's ad business wouldn't start to improve until at least H2. Now, based on its guidance and based on what we saw in Q2 earnings, I think it's going to be Q4 at the earliest. I think the big picture here for me, though, is that I am not counting Snap out yet. It's clearly still struggling, but it has the potential to defy the odds and turn itself around. There is no lack of innovation at the company. It just needs to figure out a way to turn that innovation and turn its high engagement into revenue. And if it can do that, I think it's very well positioned for the future in terms of the way that it's diversifying its revenue streams, you know, not only with Snapchat Plus, but its expansion into a tech platform focused on AR, as well as that strong engagement that we continue to see from its users. There's clearly a long road ahead and it's not going to be easy, but you know, I'm not giving up hope on Snap just yet.
All right, time for the halftime report. Jasmine, what do you think is most worth repeating from the first half?
I think it's worth watching how Snap's creator push continues to evolve. There's clearly been a lot of attention around it right now. A lot of creators are making money off of it, off of the ad revenue sharing program. I'm curious to see how that continues to unfold as more, and especially more smaller creators get involved. And I'm curious to see if they can translate that into influencer marketing and brand dollars as well.
Let's move on. What are we talking about? The second half of the show today. In other news, Pinterest had a better than expected Q2. Why? And how do social media habits differ across generations in 2023 and beyond? Story one, Pinterest had a better than expected Q2 with revenues growing 6% year on year to over $700 million, writes our senior director of briefings, Jeremy Goldman. Global monthly active users, MAUs, grew 8% year on year to 465 million. But Jasmine, the most interesting sentence in Jeremy's article about Pinterest's better than expected Q2 is what and also why?
The sentence that stood out to me was notably its partnership, it being Pinterest. So Pinterest's partnership with Amazon to launch third-party advertisements presents exciting opportunities for enhanced user engagement and revenue expansion. And I fully agree with that. I think, you know, that was an incredibly smart move from Pinterest. I think it was leaning in to its prowess as a shopping app. That's one thing that's always set it apart, even though it has long been a much smaller platform than many of its competitors. But its value proposition is that its users come with intent. And the more it can lean into shopping, I think the better off it will be.
Two quick things. One, you mentioned that it does seem, given that Meta, Microsoft, Google had really good Q2s, that advertisers are supporting larger platforms, and Snap having a kind of weaker earnings season. supports that. But this was quite hopeful, quite promising with Pinterest earnings. Jeremy noting giving more hope that the digital ad market is rebounding. Again, 6% growth year on year. It's not fantastic, but it is. There are some bright spots, definitely. And the second thing, there was an article in Payments noting Pinterest said click rates and saves on posts linked to shoppable items rose 50%, exceeding its Q1 growth rate. Something to watch. Story two. How do social media habits differ across generations in 2023 and beyond? This is a question insider intelligence analyst Paola Flores Marquez has been looking into recently in her new report. She notes that Gen Z will add the most social network users over the next few years as they close in on the millennials' total of 77 million social network users in America. The older generations will actually lose some social network users over that time. Not many, but some. Other interesting findings include that Instagram's Gen Z user base will be the largest, but TikTok will still win more time spent. There's plenty more in here as well. But Jasmine, to you, the most interesting finding in this report on social media habits differing across generations is what and why?
Snapchat is more popular than TikTok among Gen Z teens. That means Gen Z ages 12 to 17 versus Gen Z adults who are ages 18 to 24. And this was a fascinating finding for me because a lot of times we tend to lump Gen Z into one group. But as you dig deeper into their media habits and their behaviors and their preferences, they are incredibly different. You know, a 12-year-old is going to act very differently online than a 24-year-old. And I love that Paola was able to pull out some of those findings from our forecast and our research and really start to draw those comparisons between the two.
It's such an important point. We use generations to try to explain how behaviors differ across ages, but there really should be these sub-generations that we focus more on. For example, older millennials, regular Game Boy, younger millennials, Game Boy Color.
Wait, since we're
That's
talking about this market,
who you deal with. Yeah.
Have you heard of Zillennials? It is my new favorite generation.
Well, Jen, what age is this?
So it's people who are born on the cusp of Gen Z and millennial. And so they're called Zillennials.
No, we're not taking in any Gen Z. I already think that young millennials are the worst people. We're not adopting any Gen Z folks.
What's
Absolutely
wrong with
not.
Young millennials? Although I don't think
they're
I'm a young.
Worst.
I think I'm a
Game Boy Color. They don't know how hard we had it, Jasmine.
That's
they
true.
Don't know how hard older millennials had it. Had a magnifying glass on the front. It was chaos. Anyway, the full report from Paola is US social network usage by generation. Gen Z and millennials are focal cohorts for marketers. You can find the full report on insiderintelligence.com or link in the show notes. That's all we've got time for. Thank you, Jasmine, for hanging out today.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show, James, who copy edits it, Stuart, who runs the team. And thanks to everyone listening into the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by Awin. You can tune in tomorrow to learn how Chinese companies are influencing US retail as Reimagining Retail host Sarah Lebo speaks with analysts Sky Cannabis and Man Cheng Cheng. Oh, that's the end of the sentence. It felt like I was going to say more. The end. Sorry, just looked at the camera. You do look a bit like a Sith Lord with that. Victoria was right. There's something very, would you say, Victoria Galactic?
Looks very
Star
Galactic.
Star Wars-esque about the background light that you've
I
got.
I don't know what happened. The light went out and now I'm just being like lit from below by pink fluorescent.
It's very hard to take this episode seriously, Jasmine, when we're talking to a Sith Lord about Snapchat.
Oh, God. I'm trying to turn them on. I was like waving.
It's so good. No. Don't change a thing. This is perfect. I'm expecting you at any minute to fire up a lightsaber.
I wish I had one.